we've discussed it before that every 6 months you're doing this benchmarking study. Can you talk to me about who's involved? You know, what kind of people that you're working with? So we got kind of an idea of, you know, the basis, just to kick things off, of who the audience is.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you think of these real estate reports that we send out, Don, it's really owned and tracked by our entire appraisal team, which works in all three associations, Ag Country, Farm Credit Services of America, and Frontier Farm Credit. And throughout all eight states, we have benchmarks, which really we appraise the same piece of land through the dynamics that we've seen in the real estate market over and over and over through time. And it really creates this data set that we can track and really put some value behind on what have the real estate markets really done in our footprint. So it's owned and tracked by our appraisal team, and it's really brought up through each association. But it's over time we look at the same pieces of land to make sure that we're reflecting accurate results.
I think when you take a look at this particular report in particular, I found some interesting things, particularly in our backyard. What were some of the key takeaways you saw in the report itself?
Yeah, so key takeaways for me, it is really a story of stability rather than appreciation or depreciation. I mean, overall, when you look at the farmland benchmarks in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, we're up 1.2% over the last 6 months, or 4.2% over the last year, really suggesting that the farmland market has found strong support rather than going up or down. And might I add, Don, that is we have found support at record levels in the footprint that I lead.
Does that surprise you, considering margins and commodity prices, or I guess land is land?
Yeah, so we had a lot of discussion around that. When you think through it, we really feel that the market is a little bit thinner today, really outlining that while there is still some supply, demand is more than ready to find buyers for that supply. So if all of a sudden we flooded the market with a lot of, you know, farmland, I think we would see different results. So I would characterize the market as a little bit thinner when I look at all three states today. The other thing is producers, you know, continue to remain, you know, strong in their balance sheet. And these land purchase decisions, Don, they're not about, you know, July 30th of 2026. They're about the long-term outlook in agriculture. I mean, that's how producers make decisions when they're purchasing long-term assets. So I would say the long-term in agriculture remains strong. There's a number of buyers with strong financial positions, as well as a thinner farmland market in general that's really kept us in that place of stability as I described earlier.
Is that buyer a farmer, or are we still seeing investors in this market?
You know, the vast majority of our sales are the farmer, the producer. But in my entire career, we've always seen some investor influence. That has remained fairly, you know, flat, I would say, throughout my career. We haven't seen, you know, a significant increase or decrease. There's always, for the right piece of land, investors that are looking, especially if you, you know, broadcast land digitally that can be viewed, you know, like let's say over a 50-state area. You'll always have a little bit more, you know, buyers in that investor space when you're able to advertise at that level.
Looking at, particularly as I was looking at the year data, the benchmarking study from a year ago on cropland, North Dakota is one of the few states, Iowa's another, where values were down a bit, nearly 3% in North Dakota versus, you know, some of the surrounding states. Minnesota's up over 5%. Your thoughts on what's happening there?
Yeah, so when you look at North Dakota, geography always matters. Cropland is actually down almost 3%, 2.9, when you look at over the last 12 months. But as a state, all the cropland that was sold that we track, it's only down 1.8. And that's from the strong appreciation that we've seen in the pasture land market, really supported by, you know, just cattle prices in general and the settlement in that segment. But when you look at North Dakota versus Minnesota, I would say a vast difference there would be the crop that we saw in 2025. It was probably average to maybe a little bit below average. You know, Cass County had a derecho. It got a little bit drier, over towards that Jamestown, Carrington area, as you think about the end of 2025. And, you know, I would still call, you know, minus 3% or up 3% pretty stable, as I described. But that really was in the cropland segment and was propped up by pasture values throughout North Dakota.
It's interesting on the pasture side. Can you explain what you saw there across this footprint?
Well, as you think about 10 years ago, there was a lot of pasture land that was broke up maybe 10 to 15 years ago. And to me, that's really there's a lot of demand out there if somebody wants to, you know, expand the grass that they own or maybe expand their herd. And there's just not a lot of supply in a lot of parts of, you know, you think of the ag country footprint, we don't have the southwest part of the state. So when you think of the other three quarters of the state of North Dakota, there's not a ton of grass. And so when a piece comes for sale, there'll be strong demand in a cattle market like this as producers want to expand their herds.
We're now going to be moving into that traditional buying season as we get into the fall. Do you expect this trend to continue, or what are your thoughts there?
I would say this, there continues to be buyers in the marketplace for good land in agriculture, whether that's good pasture or good cropland. I could see producers getting very selective on the land that they want to purchase come fall, given that we really saw this run up, you know, 21 to 23. And now you take 2024, 2025, 2026, where as you said, the margins reflect more of 2013 to 2021 rather than, you know, 21, 22, 23. So the longer that we keep the current commodity prices, you'll see producers get more selective. And I could see some pressure on the downward side. I don't think it's going to be significant. I think there's a lot of things out there today that we didn't have 10 years ago. You have your ECO, your SCO, your LRP policies if you're a livestock producer. So all those things will matter, Don, as we get to the fall and the real estate market. So I could see some pressure coming on specifically in the lower quality land. But overall, we really view this market as fairly stable.
Big picture with the economy the way it is, do you see any consolidation happening or any more? And we've always had consolidation, but any more than usual?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to answer that. I've seen consolidation over the last 16 years, and we will continue to see consolidation. I would say as we see the average age of producers increase, you know, I believe that's just a touch below 60 years old today. The answer is yes, Don. We're going to continue to see some of those producers exit, and not all of those producers have successors coming in behind their operations. And so that could, you know, ultimately at times increase the supply that we see in the marketplace, whether it's farmland or machinery. So it's definitely something we look at. Haven't seen an uptick on any of the benchmarks that we look at really around the consolidation. It's going to continue to happen. Producers are always going to look to expand, the ones that have that successor coming behind. But to date, we haven't seen an uptick there.
Okay. Any final thoughts? Anything I didn't ask here, Mark?
That was a lot of what I really had prepared, Don.
That's
it's
great,
just
info.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, it's just interesting when you think about I'm hopeful come January when you call me again We've kind of been in this status quo for about 18 months. We're just kind of watching. And you think about 2021 when our benchmark was 3,500. When you take the average, and today it's, you know, 6,000. So I mean, there was just this huge uptick there, and it'll be interesting to see when we start putting some pressure on that.
Yeah, it seems like there should be a top at some point, but.
Well, we've seen a top, and I hope you've seen that today, or you heard that from me today. I mean, North Dakota's down 3%, and so, but it's, there's a top, and then just a little squiggle mark down. Minnesota's at the top. Wisconsin continues to, you know, appreciate. So, yeah, it'll just be really fun to see, and we look at this stuff really closely, so it'll be fun.
I'm just curious, why is Wisconsin, I mean, they seem like an outlier up 30-some percent.
Yeah, so we've talked about Wisconsin, Don, if you remember, in the past as well, and our appraisal team actually, you know, went up to Wisconsin and did a little bit deeper dive in that and really confirmed what your and my thoughts have always been is you have cucumbers, you have potatoes, you have specialty vegetables along with a strong dairy sector. And in the dairy world, if 80 acres comes for sale and you need it for, you know, a manure management plan or you want to expand, it's pretty important to you when it's close to your operation. And so when you have 2 to 3 to 4 buyers thinking the same way, you can just see appreciation in that piece of land. Same if you're growing, if you're in the vegetable space, there's only so many processors that will take, you know, delivery of those specialized products. And so the closer you are to processors in certain instances, it can really affect what a piece of ground will bring.